Ireland puts the kibosh on big banker bonuses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. A new poll out this week from Bloomberg says 70% of Americans think big bonuses to Wall Street bankers should be banned. In Ireland, the government has done just that. From the European desk in London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Ireland's finance minister has blocked the Allied Irish Bank from paying out $53 million in staff bonuses. He has the power to do this. He's propped up the bank with more than $4 billion in taxpayers' cash, and he says he'll pull the money out if the bank goes ahead with the bonuses. James Riley, deputy head of the main opposition parties, welcomed the government's move. He says the bailing out banks like Allied Irish has triggered painful budget cuts.
Blind people would not be able to afford their guide dog to give them the independence to go to the shop, but bankers could get bonuses for Christmas to cruise the Caribbean. It just is absolutely, utterly unacceptable to the Irish public, and I'm glad it's been stopped.
The bank's board had said it had little choice but to pay the bonuses after a former employee sued. Now it says it's relieved not to be making the payments. The government may pass legislation to ensure that its ban is legal. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Gordon Brown thinks the world can head off another financial crisis by operating together. In his new book, Beyond the Crash, the former British Prime Minister, who also served as the country's Treasury Chief, says the world's banks should adopt global standards for capitalization and regulation. He's with us now to give us his thoughts on the crisis and what can be done to thwart another one. Mr. Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
If you had to sum up what it was that started the economic spiral, what was it?
It was mainly a problem in the banking system, and the financial system crashed, it froze, and we've got to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. I would say that we need a global financial supervision and not simply national financial regulators.
Give me an idea of how crazy things were right after the collapse of Lehman Brothers.
What we had to do was try to get some agreement about what the coordinated response of the world was going to be, because this is not a national crisis. This wasn't simply subprime in America. This was banks freezing up across all parts of the world. But it was touch and go because basically every country had a different analysis of its own problems. And in Europe, it was felt the problem was American, and therefore it was difficult to persuade the Europeans to act as quickly because they felt that they were only dealing with the consequences of something that was peculiarly an American problem.
You've said already there should be a certain global financial standard. But if that's the case, doesn't that make critics nervous about a so-called New World Order?
Well, when it came to 2009, people were happy to come together and take the action that was necessary. I'm saying in 2011 that we've got the prospects for Europe and America of a low growth and a high unemployment decade if nothing is done about it. And therefore, it makes sense to come together. It's a sort of new Marshall Plan that would bring the world together.
You call the debate over keeping government stimulus programs one of free market versus government in terms of living standards and morality. And you use the term moral imperative. Do you think the free market lacks morality?
I think the global financial institutions have got to recognize that they need underpinned by balancing off the need for enterprise and competition with being fair, being trustworthy, having integrity and showing responsibility. And, you know, it does come back to people's savings and whether you can get money out of the cash machine and whether you're going to be paid at the end of next week and what your house is worth and when you can be sure about what your job's prospects are. And these are the big issues that a banking failure can raise for millions of ordinary people around the world.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
By the way, there's more information on Prime Minister Brown's new book at our website, marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. European markets are flat at the moment. Asian stocks were mixed today. Today, Japan announced it's going to cut its already high corporate tax rate by 5% in a bid to compete with other countries. A mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P was flat. The Nasdaq lost a little bit. The Dow ended the day a little higher, up 18 points to close at 11,428. Later in the morning, we're going to get this week's first economic data with the government reporting on wholesale inflation and retail sales.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
And now a tale of festive austerity from Britain. The UK finance minister in charge of massive budget cutbacks said he'd look for cuts big and small. In fact, this holiday season, he tried to buy a cheaper tree for his Treasury department. But that got a lump of coal reception. From London, here's the BBC's John Bithrie.
Last year, the British Treasury tree cost $1,400. But this year, Chancellor George Osborne said he was going to trim costs. Risking a Scrooge-like reputation, he came up with the idea to head down to the local hardware store and buy a standard tree for $60. But he claims he met resistance. Treasury officials questioned who would decorate the tree and turn the lights on and off. And the contractor said it wouldn't water a tree that was off contract. British political commentator Quentin Letts calls the whole episode absurd.
What this just shows you, I think, is the way that past governments have been very lax with keeping a control on spending, but also the way that governments get sewn in to expensive contracts by suppliers.
In the end, the contractor supplied a cheaper tree without the trimmings. In London, I'm the BBC's John Bithrie for Marketplace.
And finally, in Orange County, California, a prison inmate who detests salami was able to get it scrapped from his menu by claiming he observes a unique holiday. Convicted drug dealer Malcolm King requested kosher meals at the Theo Lacey Jail. Sheriff's officials reserve those type meals for inmates who claim their religion requires it. The holiday, King said, meant he could not eat salami. Festivus, which was created as an alternative to Christmas and Hanukkah by Jerry Seinfeld in his television sitcom of the 90s. It was a TV holiday. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all gotten a bad gift or two, but did you ever stop to think about what they might be costing you?
To calculate the total loss in value of this candle to me, I would say that it took up 0.01% of my floor space. And when you multiply that by my rent and by 12 months, it comes out to $1.50 per year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of Holiday Gift Giving, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.